Hello and welcome. This is Anima Voices on Vancouver Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Coast Salish territories. My name is Tim. I'm your host today, and I'm here in the studio joined with Jackie.
Hello.
Amir.
Hey.
And Alyssa.
Hi.
So on today's show, we want to focus on the Cloverdale Rodeo, which is starting today. I will talk to Jackie about that because she is actually organizing a protest against the rodeo, which is pretty awesome. And later in the show, we will have an interview with Jaja Stiashny from the Healing Horses Sanctuary in Maple Ridge. But first, some news.
Sure. So I'm sure some of us have heard about in Park Royal in West Van, a cougar was shot and killed just for being seen in daylight in area which is, you know, used to be wildlife. So according to CTV News, dogs at the dog park surrounding Park Royal, which was Ambleside Park, were able to scare the cougar away by barking at them. But the animal did remain in the area for several hours, and then the conservation officer came in and shot the cougar with concerns that the cougar had no fear of humans and would stray into a nearby residential neighborhood. So there's also been a couple sightings in the past week in the base of Grouse Mountain, Port Moody Fishery Hatchery, and the Seymour Watershed. So obviously there's cougars out in the area. But my concern is, you know, we took over this area, which was traditionally habitat for wildlife. We've built these buildings, malls, and other, you know, other projects, and we've created these artificial parks. And then we are concerned when animals come back to areas that they are native to. So I don't know. I'm curious what people's thoughts are on that.
Well, I guess one of the questions came up. Why wasn't that particular cougar relocated, like trapped and relocated somewhere? Like, why was shooting the first option? Like, it was the same day that that animal was seen. I didn't hear about other reports of that mm-hmm. particular animal being seen. It seemed like they just went in and someone was trigger happy, and that was the end of that. So it's interesting too that these so-called conservation officers are the ones who pull the trigger.
That is really seems to be the common theme there. Whenever I hear a news story about conservation officers, it's about them killing some wild animal. So, I don't quite understand the concept, to be honest.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like the cougar was, like, there's no note in this article about the cougar exhibiting any aggressive behavior or anything like that towards these people, or even the dogs. The cougar was quite scared of the dogs. So it sounds like it was just because the potential fear that they could get used to people and could potentially hurt someone in the future. It's all just fear-based reactionism, and people are just, like you said, trigger happy, unfortunately.
And when they're saying, like, cougars getting close to humans, or I guess it's the same for bears, when it is, in fact, the humans getting close to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've taken over their neighborhood, and it's to be expected, I think.
One note, just that if people do see cougars out, it's important that you make yourself really big and maybe, if necessary, throw a stick at the animal, but don't run. That's the advice in these articles. And I think maybe also think twice about calling conservation officers about these kinds of sightings, because it seems like they're more about conserving human populations, not wild animal populations sometimes. There's just one other story here this week related to our topic this week. We're talking about the rodeo, and we have an interview about horses. I saw some horse news just this week. CBC News was reporting that the Canadian horse is on the verge of extinction. It's kind of an interesting title. You're like, what? Horses extinct? I don't think so. But so what,
and what
it
is a Canadian horse anyway?
Well, the Canadian horse is actually a particular breed of horse. And the Canadian Horse Heritage and Preservation Society says that the status of that particular breed is now considered critical. There's about 2,000 of this breed alive currently, so says the CBC. The article explains that the breed, nicknamed the Little Iron Horse, descended from 2 stallions and 20 mares sent over to what is now Canadian soil by King Louis XIV of France in 1665. The horses were exploited during the fur brigades, which were convoys of canoes and boats used to transport supplies for the fur trade here. And this, of course, was one of the first major acts of colonization and mass animal slaughter on this continent, well, for profit, at least. And during the American Civil War, many of these so-called Canadian horses were exported to the U.S. to be used as cavalry horses. And that war decimated 150,000 of the horses and left their numbers on the brink. So, red alert, this one particular breed that humans have been exploiting for hundreds of years is now about, you know, near extinction.
Yeah, I was going to say it's interesting. I was wondering when you first mentioned that if it was a wild breed of horse, but it's a domesticated breed of horse that is on extinction. I've never quite heard that language used for domestic animals, but I guess it would be relevant. I don't know.
Well, this is, you know, breeders are alarmed because mm-hmm. they stand to lose profit if this breed, you know, ends up dying out. They say these horses that are current, like, aren't really reproducing, and they're worried. It's basically like a rare gem to gem collectors. So it's just all about human use and profit. And, of course, horses are not near extinction. They're being, I mean, wild horses, maybe,
yeah.
are critically in danger. But that's not what this article is about. It's about continuing to use and exploit beings, you know, against their will.
I'm wondering, there was this article going around on social media recently about breeds of dogs and how unnatural they are and how sick they are. And I'm wondering if it's similar with horses, if horses are overbred and also display signs of sickness and whatnot just to please their breeders.
Yeah, I think like any time an animal is bred with specific traits in mind, a lot of things are compromised, such as health and other issues. So I wonder if that has something to do with the extinction that's taking place or the inability to reproduce.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it shows kind of how confused we are about animals, and it doesn't really make any sense to me.
Roots Reggae, heard every Friday night from midnight until daylight. 7 hours long and 7 hours strong, giving you music for the mind, soul, and body. It's an holistic experience. We say it's ITIL and VITIL. My name is Lyndon V, and you've got it locked in Vancouver's Healing Station, 100.5 FM CFRO.
You are listening to CFRO 100.5 FM. And we are Animal Voices. Now we want to talk about rodeos. I have to admit, I'm from Europe. I don't really know rodeos. I just know them from, I guess, movies and folklore. And I'm surprised that they are a thing that actually exists. And I'm really excited that our very own Jackie is organizing a protest against the Cloverdale Rodeo. And so that we today don't have to get an external expert in for an interview, but I can talk to you here. So for me as a absolute layman, can you summarize what rodeos actually are and what is wrong with them?
Sure. First off, I want to say I'm not an expert on this. I've just done like some research as I've helped organize a few protests at the Cloverdale Rodeo the past couple of years. And I'm also co-organizing this with Sarah Fox, so just giving her a shout out. So yeah, rodeos are horrible for multiple reasons. They use fear, stress, and pain to control and dominate other animals. That's kind of the forefront of what's wrong with them. That's, you know, that's a common theme in many areas of animal exploitation, but this is done solely for entertainment. So it's a little bit different that people are in the audience jeering and cheering on these people, and they see them as heroic or, strong, masculine, where these animals are obviously in fear, they're in stress, they're traveling around the province for often months. Many of them die in transport, many of them die from injuries or suffer from injuries and have to be euthanized. So there's multiple reasons why this is bad. It's also just kind of a reflection on society that we admire these kind of traits in people. We admire this strength and domineering attitude towards others who are, like I mentioned earlier, in fear and stress.
So what are typical activities that happen at rodeos where animals are involved?
It depends on the rodeo. At the Cloverdale Rodeo in particular, there's going to be pig racing. There's going to be bareback racing, which is where horses are racing without a saddle at extremely fast speeds that are not natural to them, sometimes doing jumps and other tricks. That will, you know, put them at risk to injury. There's barrel back racing, which is racing in which horses and riders are doing a pattern around preset barrels, and they have to do this again in the fastest time. It's all about time. And bronc racing, saddle bronc racing, where people are riding on horses and forcing them to buck and trying to stay on as long as possible. Again, using things like bucking straps, which are straps that go around their waist, and they're also known as flank straps. They are cinched tightly to cause the animal discomfort and cause them to buck. Bull riding, very similar. It's just on a bull. It's the same kind of a thing, and it's often what people think of when they see or think of rodeos, is they think of the bull riding, which is when usually a cowboy is on a bull.
I guess that's the most famous image.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And there's another act that I find actually really, really especially repulsive. It's called mutton busting.
What is that?
And it's when children are put on the backs of sheep and essentially are doing the same kind of activities, trying to stay on as long as possible on the backs of sheep. So it's kind of teaching children, first of all, sheep are not, I mean, not that any of these animals are used to be ridden, but sheep are not animals that are that have ever historically been ridden on the backs of. So it's obviously terrifying for the sheep as well as for the child, I would imagine. And it's kind of just teaching children to lose their compassion and respect that they inherently have towards animals.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of a cap of the events that are happening at the Cloverdale Rodeo.
Right. So you're organizing the protest now for the rodeo. What do you have specific protesting activities planned for the rodeo? Like, do you have a schedule for that?
Yeah, so tonight we'll be going from 7 to 9 p.m. and that's covering the first event, which will take place at 7:30. And we will be protesting for 2 hours just outside. We will have a megaphone. We'll also have people holding signs open to people of all ages. And we are going to be doing this for the next couple days. We'll be doing it on Saturday from 2 to 4, Sunday from 2 to 4, and Monday from 2 to 4. And for people that come to the event, as well as others that can't make it to the events or just residents of Surrey that want this to end, we're asking people to contact the mayor of Surrey, write letters saying that you do not appreciate this, contact the city of Surrey, contact the sponsors, which are on the Cloverdale Rodeo website, and just try to get this rodeo shut down. There's been a lot of changes that have taken place in recent years, such as in 2007, actually following the death of a calf in a calf roping event, and also years of protest. The Cloverdale Rodeo announced that they would discontinue 4 events: calf roping, steer wrestling, team roping, and wild cow milking.
What is that? What is that?
Honestly, I think it's just chasing down a horse, or sorry, a cow, and milking them. They're not wild cows, but it's that's the another thing too, is we're taught that these animals are not we are, but people go there thinking they're seeing these wild, crazy wild animals running around and these people trying to tame them, when in fact they're not. They're all domesticated animals and they're forced into reactions of fear based on the way they're handled, and the contraptions that they are put in.
So these are activities that are not at the Cloverdale Rodeo anymore, but they would be found at other rodeos in North America.
Definitely. The Calgary Stampede definitely still has these events, as well as they have chuck wagon races, too, which I'm sure some people have heard about, the large the protest that was in the media that took place last year for that. And these are still happening at other rodeos for sure. And I think it's important to remember that even though these rodeos or these events were discontinued from the Cloverdale Rodeo, it is not a humane rodeo as they would like people to believe, because rodeos in and of themselves are cruel.
Right. But I mean, people are talking about it as a kind of a heritage event and as a family event. So I'm wondering, do you think there would be a way to modify the event to have something that is humane or that is not cruel to animals, or maybe to have something similar without the animals being so under stress?
Sure. Well, they currently have part of the rodeo is this big country fair, which they have musical performances. They have, you know, human performers doing various acts. They have a fair, they have rides, they have lots of different events. And that's what a lot of people are actually even going to the event for initially, is just for the fair portion. So I'm all for keeping the fair and keeping the country heritage side of things alive, but you don't need to exploit animals for that. You know, people like to use heritage and things as ways to defend this, but like, we've ended gladiator fights. That's part of our heritage, but we've ended things like that. So why continue this?
Yeah, and it seems to be maybe also similar to the way how we see circuses developing, going away from animal acts and just to human performers. And I have the impression that people enjoy seeing that even more than seeing animals being pushed around.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, the main thing with rodeos is, you know, we see humans fighting with each other, and people often will use that as kind of an analogy, but the thing is, humans are consenting for that. They're making a lot of money doing that. These animals can't consent. They're not reaping any benefits from this this activity. So, yeah, there's quite a difference. And I feel like we definitely are at a point where we can move away from these events.
Speaking of moving away from these events, it was announced in February of this year, 2015, that the Luxton Spring Fair ended their rodeo events. And that's, it's just in Langford, which is just outside of Victoria, so Vancouver Island. They had a rodeo going on there, the Luxton Pro Rodeo, for 39 years. And this year is the first weekend that they will not be hosting any rodeo at all as part of their spring fair. So still the event goes on, lots of events like you mentioned, you know, antique farm equipment and a country fair, a country dance at night. You know, it still kind of keeps the spirit of settler celebrations and colonial living in the early days of so-called Canada. Woo. So if you're into that, then, well, anyway, at least people can still have fun without exploiting animals. I mean, mostly I think it's a family gathering. It's a community celebration, and it can still happen without glorifying domination and violence over others. And so the Vancouver Humane Society and Victoria Citizens Against Rodeo Events are calling their campaigns over the last few years a success. And the rodeo itself said that just some sponsors were dropping out, and it's very expensive to host the rodeo on the island, with a lot of people have to come over on the ferry. People and animals come from far away, so they just found that it wasn't sustainable anymore. And I found a statistic from 2013 that 56% of BC residents are opposed to rodeos, and only 38% in favor. And the numbers on Vancouver Island were more people even were opposed to rodeos. So it really goes to show that the public ideas are shifting. And, you know, I think all events like this have a limited time span. They're all on their way out. We'll definitely look back and say, oh, my goodness, like what were we doing? It doesn't make any sense. It's so cruel. I really believe that all these events will expire soon.
But I think it's great that they are doing this country fair, and without the rodeo, and maybe then other organizers can take that as an example and can see, oh yes, people are still going there, people are still enjoying their time, even if maybe what they're celebrating might be somewhat dubious in origin. But that it's really not necessary to exploit animals
Absolutely. Ways. Yeah. And I think even what you were saying earlier, Tim, is like the fact that you hadn't really heard of rodeos until kind of coming here. And a lot of people who are either visiting or, you know, coming from another country or another area where rodeos don't exist, they tend to think that this is a representation of what we celebrate here. And I don't really, because I've done protests at rodeos before, and a lot of times there's tourists there, and I'm talking to them, and they said, oh, I just thought this is what, I didn't think this was something that was frowned upon. I just thought this was what Canadians did. And so it's kind of important to show public opposition to this, to show, like, also how are we representing ourselves to the rest of the world in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, just looking at the website, some of the sponsors that are actually involved, it's crazy who is sponsoring this event, including the City of Surrey, Pepsi, Cactus Club, 24 Hours Newspaper, Global, London Drugs, IGA. It goes on and on with, you know, a lot of places that maybe some people in the animal activist community actually support. But Jackie, I think you touched on it earlier. We really do have to put pressure on these people because they're helping this event, you know, be put on.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a good point. I think we need to write letters to these sponsors, like as many people as can. I'm going to try to just promote that as much as possible, that we need to contact these sponsors and let them know that we do not support this. If they get enough opposition, they will pull funding, pull sponsorship. And like Alyssa mentioned earlier, that was what, you know, kind of put the nail in the coffin, so to say, of the Gluckston Rodeo. So I think there is power in that for sure.
All right. So everybody write letters. And if you have time this weekend, go to the Cloverdale Rodeo, but not to the rodeo, but to the protest. Bring a sign and show your opposition and be vocal.
Yeah. And just, I guess, well, I don't know. We didn't really say like kind of how it celebrates, you know, this idea of machismo and violent domination of innocent others. And, you know, when you can see the events that way, like, I just don't understand how people can cheer that on and just be so, so blind to how much pain and suffering and just unnecessary cruelty is there. Like, these animals are not our enemies. They're not trying to, you know, to hurt us, and we're not like defending ourselves, but we're making them into these like monsters so men can stand up and look strong. And it's just so disgusting.
It's very interesting. I was researching a bit about that, and I don't remember where I read it, but I found some feminist blog post by a woman who said, as a feminist, she strongly opposes the concept of the rodeos, but for the sake of equality, she still would want women to participate. And it's just something which I totally don't understand. Like, why not just end the event instead of saying, well, women should do it too? I mean, that
there's women and children involved now, so it's great, right?
Yeah, exactly.
it's still definitely got that machismo, even with women involved. They're very sexualized in a lot of ways, and it's I agree completely with what Alyssa says. That's a big part of why I also oppose this event. Is people often think, oh well, it's a rodeo, it's once a year, it's not that big of a deal, but it is, because it also reflects kind of societal, you know, the way we think as society, and it kind of reinforces these ideals of domination of weaker or more innocent life life. So yeah, I definitely oppose it for that reason as well.
Absolutely.
Don't let them escape unpunished.
A transgender African-American woman is facing trial for murder after an incident outside a Minneapolis bar where she was reportedly harassed and then physically attacked.
Reportedly interrogated without counsel, placed in solitary confinement, McDonald supporters have said the case is symptomatic of the bias against transgender people and African-Americans in the criminal justice system.
Who let the torch pass, fall in the tall grass, fire alarm, wires disarmed, what do you call that? Call it predictable political cliches, so when the movie ends, the revolution's dead. Replay the sequence of events that led to these deep divisions. I realize the order wrong, people are in prison. The children want to know if I believe in the reptilians. I tell them I don't know, but on the TV I see lizards. When action was in fashion, you were such an easy mimic. Bumper sticker quote lifting, rip no statistic. Grass for the straw man, born again, cynic. Fair where the firebrand sparked my suspicion. Knew you were the type to take the fight like a gimmick and rock the t-shirt when your sweat wasn't in it. The clock is still ticking for the victim of the future. You wait until they look like you to ever choose, but
I'm dealing with homophobia in hip-hop, the lyrics and things like that.
That homo? Yeah. Are you talking about? Yeah. I can't even talk to you about that.
Ask the industry.
What I represent culturally doesn't condone it whatsoever.
Do you think that a gay rapper would ever be accepted in hip-hop culture?
Who wrote the greatest lines of our generation, but couldn't get from under they own small-minded hatred? The same rappers say they troop in the front lines and casually use the word faggot as a punchline. That's not a man, that's not a tough guy. That is a sucker and a fraud to the culture. Hip-hop is folk music grown from the struggle, and half these fools could put the mic down and run as a Republican. Fuck them, then they learn from their own wrong. Homophobes don't go to my shows, we too strong. And if you in the front row harassing girls during a song, I'ma reach out and ask you exactly.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
You ain't gotta like it.
Which side are you on?
This is what we are faced with. And this is the reality now. When we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
I'm on the side of poor people getting organized. I'm on the side of choice where it is in short supply. I'm on the side of those the system doesn't authorize. LGBT, we are on the side of pride, justice and equality. Egypt and Wisconsin when they march against the policy. If you bring me down a king, I'm on your side probably. Kids are giving me shit for this, it really doesn't bother me. They were not around when we were wrestling with poverty. So I follow none and ask no one to follow me. Use your own mind, use your heart and your anger. Check yourself because apathy is a cancer. And let your action be the answer.
That was B. Dolan, Which Side Are You On, from his mixtape House of Bees, Volume 2. You're listening to Anima Voices, Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFO 100.5 FM. We've been talking about rodeos earlier and the suffering that animals endure in these events. And it's not only farm animals, but also horses suffer a great deal. Often they get injured, and once they're injured, then they're sent to slaughter. And there are few people who try to do something about that. And yesterday I had the chance to talk to Zsa-Zsa Stiassny from the Healing Horses Sanctuary in Maple Ridge, who dedicates her work to rescue these kind of horses. I talked to her via Skype, and there are some sound issues, so my apologies in advance for that. But here's my interview with her.
I'd been taking horses in personally on a on an off basis for many years. In 2008, I had three horses came to me that were in dire need of homes. One was going to be euthanized for she'd outlived her purpose in her training school where she had been. Another one was left in a backyard property sale and was in dire need of a new home and training. And the third one was an ex-barrel racer that was going to be put down. She'd outlived her usefulness and had been replaced by a fancier, newer model. So after taking those three in, we decided we would just form a formal society. And that's how Healing Horses Society began. And since then, we've been taking in horses. Every year we've gone from, we went from 15 horses, we're up to 30 horses now. The ones that we can, we retrain and give them a viable job in what we also started as a trail riding operation, Equitrails. And the ones that we aren't able to rehabilitate because they've got health issues, we just provide them with a long-term home, provide them with long-term care and a place to live out the rest of their life.
Right. So the horses stay with you all the time, or do you give them also for adoption? Are you looking for new homes for them?
What the situation is, we try to rehabilitate them and then we try to give them a job. The ones that we can't rehabilitate are, of course, already either injured or incapacitated in some way. And those ones are very difficult to find homes for. So we've just decided that we would keep them as a permanent residence here and help them live out their life in comfort.
How many horses then do you have right now who are living out their life with you?
Oh, right now we've probably got about six of them. Three of them are waiting for surgery. We are hoping to do some fundraising, and they have potential to possibly be rehabilitated with surgery. And a couple of the other ones are older senior horses that will just live out their lives.
How do you find these horses? How do the horses come to you?
Well, a lot of times it's just through word of mouth. Some of them, because people know that this is, you know, what we do. We also have gone to auctions and have picked up some of the horses through the auctions that are the ones that don't seem to be finding homes with other owners. They're the low man on the list. Nobody wants them. So they're the ones that would be heading out to the meat market, to the slaughterhouse. And they're usually either A, the less attractive horses, or they're not for whatever reason. They're basically on the unwanted list. So those are the ones that we try to pick up and bring home. So our last trip was down to Washington, where we brought home six horses that were due to go to slaughter. And out of those ones, out of those six, two of them are in our long-term care program. And the other four we've been able to rehabilitate and are in training to learn the trails and how to do trail riding. So once they're rehabilitated, then they can help, again, to subsidize the sick ones.
I've heard that often even healthy horses get sent to slaughter. Can you shed some light on that?
Oh, yes. Well, oftentimes the two big things are, I mean, for healthy horses, is there's just economic conditions that don't allow for the owner to keep the horse any longer. So that's, you know, the easiest way for them to move the horse out. The other reason could be that it's just something they don't want it anymore. They have no use for it anymore. They're getting out of the horse business. And people just either couldn't be bothered to try to find them another home through other means. The fast way to get rid of them is to send them to the auction.
It's tragic and I would say gruesome. I mean, you build up a relation to a horse like you would build to any other animal in your care, right? And don't really want to give them away.
That's right, yes. But I mean, I look and see, I mean, you can look around you and see how many dogs and cats are in the same situation. Difference is it's much easier to take in a dog or a cat than it is to take in a horse. I mean, I can take in four dogs or four cats, no problem. I mean, we've taken in cats from other adoption agencies and dogs and so forth. They're easy to bring home. But for horses, the opportunities to find a new home are significantly less. I mean, when we were at the auction, oh, what was it now, 3 years ago, I mean, we rescued 9 horses out of those. We've been able to rehabilitate 7 of them. And they were all healthy horses. They had training problems, but otherwise they were healthy. Well, that's the other reason why people get rid of them, is they start running into difficulties with their training, behavior problems, and they don't know how to fix it. So the easiest way to get rid of it is to send it off to the auction.
These behavioral problems, that is usually then just a question of care or of like energy that people put into these animals, or is it that they are not aware of the effort it takes to take care of horses?
Some, yeah. It's care, yeah. And the investment of time. Because some horses can be rehabilitated relatively quickly, others take a long time. It depends what the damage is. Because there's often a lot of emotional damage as well. Oh, we have the same problem with dogs. Often dogs end up because they have behavioral problems, right?
Exactly, yeah. Do you know about the background of the horses when you get them? Do you know their history, where they're coming from?
No, most often we know very, very little. That's why they end up where they are. People want to remain anonymous. Other than cases where they've maybe been abandoned quite often, like we find them abandoned in property sales or, you know, they've been left neglected somewhere. So those ones, we can gather some information perhaps from neighbors and friends. But the ones that come through the auction, everybody's anonymous. And so there's no history almost at all provided with most of those ones.
So you're really helping the ones that nobody else is willing to take in?
Yeah. That's our primary goal.
Racing and other sports are also fairly dangerous for horses.
Yes, they are.
As well. Like on today's show, we talk about the Cloverdale Rodeo as well. And that is a very dangerous event for all animals involved.
It is, and it's very hard on them.
Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, not the worst part is that they're overused and not necessarily taken care of in the way that they should be. That's one of the difficulties. They start training them at a very, very young age in many, many cases, which is very hard on them. They put in long hours. It's really hard on their joints. I mean, thoroughbred on the racetrack has basically outlived its life by the time it's 5 or 6 years old. I mean, that's nothing. Horse can live till it's 30 and more. So I just actually was just talking to my farrier today, and he just took in a standard bred off the racetrack today, as a matter of fact, because it had been run and run and run to the point where it's half of its hoof wall was splitting off. So, he picked it up because its last couple of races, the horse just gave up, couldn't race anymore. So, people just don't provide the necessary care.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, especially off the race, there's two groups here in the Vancouver general area. One of them that works specially with thoroughbreds, and another one that works specially with standardbreds. So, you know, that's what they focus on in terms of the horses that they rescue. So they're trying to pick up the ones off the tracks that aren't winning anymore and are likely going to be ended up thrown away. Is the easiest way I can describe it. We're not breed specific. We're mostly focused on horses that just really are at the end, are on the bottom of the pile.
Yeah.
And we are not necessarily choosy about whether or not that horse looks like it's saleable or not saleable. If it's not saleable and we've had, like I said, we've got many, we just provide them with long-term care. I mean, they deserve something better than to end their lives in a slaughterhouse. I mean, if you've ever seen any of the videos and any of those slaughterhouses, what goes on is atrocious. It's pathetic the way they treat these animals. I mean, over 85,000 horses a year get slaughtered here in Canada. They just recently opened up a new slaughterhouse in Kamloops area. There's a no slaughter law in the United States, so those horses get shipped all over Canada and Mexico to get slaughtered.
So Canada is the slaughterhouse for the American horses as well.
Which is pretty sad given how conservative we are as a people.
Yeah, and I guess most people are not aware of that.
No, they're not. Well, I have to admit, I mean, until I got into this on a society basis where we were mostly rescuing local horses just from, you know, backyards and people who couldn't take care of them or didn't want them anymore. And we started working, you know, with also getting horses rescued out of slaughter. I mean, I wasn't totally aware of how bad the situation was either. I mean, there's a whole lack of education around what goes on. I mean, you can bring horses up across the border and the border people have no idea. They don't know. And they're the ones who have to sign the papers to get horses here. And I mean, they're bringing them up here by the truckloads. The public is not aware of how bad the situation is for horses and slaughter.
So there's definitely a need for outreach and for education there.
Yes. Yes.
So how can our listeners support you at the Healing Horses Sanctuary?
Oh, well, there's two distinctive ways. One is to come and help volunteer, you know, and help doctor and take care of these horses. I mean, they need grooming and care and love and attention. One of the things that common about horses, as with dogs, is they need some sort of consistency. So, you know, having volunteers who can make a long-term commitment to be here and take on one or two of those horses and just to be with them and care for them and love them is very important. So volunteer work here is a key thing. And then, of course, we're always looking for donations to help with the extended veterinary care that we need.
Right. So can anybody come and volunteer? I mean, you said already that consistency is good, but can people also come out just for a day or whatever is needed?
Yeah, we're not set up for one-day type visits. I mean, we are looking for preferably for people who can make a commitment to come. It takes a long time to learn the horses. It's not something that can happen in a day or one day. So, we prefer to have people who can make a longer-term commitment, even if it's only for a few months at a time.
Right.
But if they can come in, like, for you know, a few hours after work or on a day off, it's, you know, they really need that. I mean, one of our horses, when we first moved to this new location, one of our horses became very, very sick. And at that time, I wasn't using volunteers at all. I was managing them all by myself. And when we moved to the new facilities, just my work pattern had significantly changed. And I put out a plea for some volunteers, and I swear that poor horse, she would have died if I wouldn't have had a volunteer who came out and looked after her every day. And she lived on for another 3 years, and it was through the help of a dedicated volunteer. So that's how important it can be.
Oh, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was ready to give it up. And my volunteer, Marjorie, came out every day to take care of her, comb her, groom her, feed her. She'd lost interest in eating. She was depressed because she'd lost her best friend before we moved to this location. So, you know, horses are just as much emotionally impacted by loss and change as we are as humans. So it was a very, very difficult transition for her. And without the help of that volunteer, I don't think she would have made it through this.
Oh, yeah. So it is really important.
They make a huge significant difference here.
I'm wondering, is there a horse that you had in the past that has a special place in for you, that is, that you have a special bond with?
Oh, well, I guess, Silver would have been one of them. Because she, like I mentioned earlier, she had been an ex-barrel racer, beautiful little horse. And she had been handed over from her original home where she'd spent her entire life. She was a champion barrel racer, had won hundreds of dollars and prizes and trailers. And I mean, my God, she'd done everything. She'd been racing for years and years and years. And the owner just decided that she didn't want her anymore and she was going to get a new model. And yet they had the property and the capability of being able to provide for her through her final years, and yet chose not to. So they traded her off in exchange for some goods to another school. For them, that wasn't a pretty enough horse. So off she was going to the auction when we got her.
Oh.
So my heart just broke for her. I mean, she was underweight. Her feet had been unkept. She had she had lice, and she had an infection in her they call it mastitis, which is an infection, an unusual infection in her udder. So, you know, when we got her, these were all things that we took care of for her. And she rode with us on the trails for a couple of years. And then she started to develop her bad foot. And so we hung on to her and we doctored her up as best as we could through the rest of her life.
Well, she was very lucky then that you found her.
She had a very special place because it broke my heart. Somebody who had the capability to take care of her chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
And just threw her away like a piece of garbage. Didn't care what happened to her. So I heard about her through a friend and drove my trailer up there right away and got her. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we gave her 5 good years of her life still. And, so she lived out it. She lived out a happy life.
Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners? Anything that they can do in general to support you or to do good for horses?
Oh, well, I mean, one thing is to put out the word, you know, is the greater understanding that horses are a sentient animal. They're very emotional. They have deep connection to humans. They're not disposable to be traded out for something newer, better brand. I mean, most people, when you get a dog, your dog is for life. Your horse should be for life, too. Just because he can't race the way you want, or he's not winning money for you, or whatever championship, he's not getting ribbons for you anymore, it doesn't make him a disposable item. If you're making a commitment, you should make the commitment. don't have them if you don't think that they're important. It's like, why have them? Each one of these animals that we have here has its own personality. They have their own characteristics. They've got, and they're amazingly powerful and intelligent animals. And I think people have to learn to realize that that is what they are.
That was Zsa Stiezhny from the Healing Horses Sanctuary in Maple Ridge. If you want to help her and her cause, check out her website, healinghorsessanctuary.com.
That was a really powerful interview. I just wanted to say that. And also it kind of brought up some points relating to what we talked about a bit earlier, that a lot of what happens to these animals on rodeos is not just what we see on the stage. It's also their lives outside. They're the farmers or the people that are in possession, air quotes, of these animals say that they love them, but they also say that they are an investment. And so when that investment stops bringing them money, these animals are disposable at that point. So that's an important thing also to keep in mind.
You are listening to Vancouver Co-op Radio on 100.5 FM CFRO. We are broadcasting live here from East Van, and I just have a couple things coming up around Vancouver that people might be interested in. I personally plan to attend, and I know at least a couple of other of the Animal Voices hosts will be there as well. First is Liberation BC's monthly vigil for chickens. It's happening Saturday, May 16th, 3 o'clock until 4 o'clock, just 1 hour. And that's happening in Vancouver at the corner of Commercial and Hastings at the Hallmark Slaughterhouse. Join us on this day to practice bearing witness. Join others who care to show love and empathy to the thousands of chickens killed every day there. We will stand and wave at people driving by at the busy intersection, drawing attention to the plight of the birds inside those dark gray walls. Note that this is a friendly vigil, appropriate for all ages. There won't be any yelling or chanting. It's just making eye contact with people driving by and holding large signs to draw attention to what's going on. All the signs will be provided. They have a lot of really nice big signs there, but feel free to bring your own. Something else coming up at the end of this May, Direct Action Everywhere is hosting their monthly Day of Action on Saturday, May 30th. This is a worldwide protest happening concurrently in dozens of cities. The theme for this month is The Path to Liberation. DXC is encouraging people to join the growing tide of activists who believe that the path to liberation is paved with the uncompromising courage to confront violence. In Vancouver on Saturday, May 30th, the group will be meeting at 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon at Columbia and East 8th at Jonathan Rogers Park. The group will gather to discuss the action and then will walk to the destination to do an in-store demonstration, followed by some chanting outside. Even if you've never done a protest like this before, you're totally welcome to join. No experience is necessary. If you're unsure about chanting or you've never held a sign up, you're encouraged to join. It's a really warm and welcoming atmosphere, and everyone is welcome to participate. However they feel comfortable. Even if you don't chant at all or hold a sign, you can still participate by bearing witness and just joining the group and just feeling it out. You know, like, I know these kind of demonstrations can be intimidating to people and just want to, share that the doors are open there for people wherever they're at, even just to check it out. So again, that's Saturday, May 30th at 2:30 in Vancouver. Those are the two I had coming up. And then just another note as we're building up to it, less than a month away is Empty the Tanks on Saturday, June 6th. That again is a worldwide event with concurrent events happening around the world. And in Vancouver, of course, it will be at the Vancouver Aquarium. And last year, I think there was about 300 people of all ages. It's a family-friendly event. Saturday, June 6th, mark your calendars. I think it starts at noon. Is that right?
I think you're correct. Yeah, and I remember last year, it was quite a large event. There was lots of people and a really good energy, too. So I'd recommend checking it out.
So we'll see you there.
Thanks for that, guys. You have been listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio at CFRO 100.5 FM with myself, Tim, Jackie, and Alyssa. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today, whether you're listening live at 100.5 FM, listening live on coopradio.org, or listening via our podcast at animalvoices.org. We would love to hear your feedback. If you had any questions for us or if you just wanted to chat and connect with us, reach us via Twitter at animalvoicesyvr or animalvoicesvancouver on Facebook. You can even email us at animalvoicesvancouver@gmail.com. We will be back next Friday, and we hope that you will be too. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock coming up with Alex Smith. We will be closing the show with a song called The Time Has Come by the Betty Ford Boys. We hope you have a beautiful, cruelty-free weekend, and please remember to be kind to the animals.
Oh, yes, we do.